Deuteronomy chapter 26. When you come into the land which Yahweh your God gives you for an inheritance and possess it and dwell in it, take of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you bring in from your land that Yahweh gives you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place which Yahweh your God will choose to cause his name to dwell there. So then, all the emphasis is on God is giving you the land, God is giving you the harvest, and so give him the first fruits of it. As David says, of your own we have given you. This is a very liberating idea that actually all that we have is not ours, but it has been given to us by God. So our apparent generosity to God is only giving to him that which is already his. You shall come to the priest, who will be in those days, and tell him, I declare this day to Yahweh your God that I have come to the land which Yahweh swore to our fathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of Yahweh. You shall answer and say before Yahweh, a Syrian ready to perish was my father, and he went down into Egypt and lived there, few in number. That was 70, the 70 relatives or descendants of Jacob who went down into Egypt. He was ready to perish in the famine. A Syrian ready to perish was my father. He went down into Egypt and lived there, few in number, and he became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. The Egyptians behaved badly with us, afflicted us, and laid on us hard bondage. And we cried to Yahweh, God of our fathers, and Yahweh heard our voice, saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And Yahweh brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with great terror, with signs and wonders. And he has brought us into this place, and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I have brought the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, Yahweh, have given me. You shall set it down before Yahweh your God and worship before Yahweh your God. So I am giving you that Yahweh which you have given me. This really helps you to be more generous, because once you start thinking that, well, no, everything I've got is mine, I worked for it, and well, yeah, God should count himself so lucky if I give some of that to his work. No, all that you have been given. This totally takes away all the value placed on the human work ethic that I've got what I've got because I worked hard for it. So it is not yours, it is not anyone's, it is mine. And this cuts right into that no, actually it is God's. You yourself are God's. You were given this land, you were given absolutely everything, given every breath that you've taken. You shall rejoice in all the good which Yahweh your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the foreigner who is in the midst of you. So you are to rejoice in what God has given you at the time that you give it to God. So then there's a big connection in the book of Deuteronomy between rejoicing and sacrifice. You are to rejoice when you give. And we're told that God loves a joyful, cheerful giver, so Paul says in the New Testament, and that is indeed how it is, that if you consider that, well, this is mine, but, well, I suppose I have got to give something to God, and, well, other people are doing it, so I suppose I better support that good cause or whatever. No, this is not what he's looking for. He's showing us that you can actually rejoice in your giving, that you becoming minus, that I had this or that, that I saved up, be it money, be it whatever, but now I have given it away. I don't have it anymore. That you can actually rejoice in that. There is joy in that. Now, this is radically different to the helter-skelter sort of capitalism in which we live, whereby the whole idea is to end the game of life with as many chips as you can, with as much money and property, etc., as you can. And this is totally different. Give and rejoice in giving, and it's not yours anyway. When you've made an end of tithing all your increase in the third year, which is the year of tithing, then you shall give it to the Levite, to the foreigner, to the fatherless, and to the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. So God is particularly sensitive, isn't he, constantly to these groups of vulnerable people, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall say before Yahweh your God, I have put away the holy things out of my house and have given them to the Levite and to the foreigner, to the fatherless and to the widow. According to your commandment which you commanded me, I have not transgressed any of your commandments, neither have I forgotten them. Well, that sounds like what the older brother said in the parable of the prodigal son. He says to the father, I've never transgressed any of your commandments at any time. So he's sort of quoting from the law about tithing. It's as if he's saying, I've always paid my tithes, father. So what are you doing accepting this wayward son of yours back when you gave him all that money and he blew it and I paid my tithes? But of course, the point of the story there is that the one who paid his tithes so proudly saying, I never transgressed any of your commandments, is the one who ends up, at the end of all things, outside the father's fellowship by his own choice. And it is the prodigal who wasted the father's money and certainly didn't pay tithes with it, who is the one who's accepted. And he's, anyway, this man here who's paying his tithes, it is to say to God, I have given to the foreigner, to the fatherless, and to the widow, as you commanded. Now, that is helpful, I think, psychologically to us to be able to say that to God. Yes, I have given to the foreigner, the fatherless, and to the widow, and to the Levite, as you commanded. I have not eaten of it in mourning, neither have I put away any of it while I was unclean, nor given any of it for the dead. I have listened to the voice of Yahweh my God. I have done according to what you commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven, and bless your people Israel, and the ground which you have given us, as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So this little speech that the man is supposed to say when he brings his tithes doesn't say, well, I've given the tithes, so, I'm sort of expecting more blessing from you now, God. He gives the tithe, and then he says to God, look down and bless your people Israel. He has a collective view. He's not to say, well, I've given, so I do expect to have a lot more back now, Lord. No, that would be missing the point that, you know, I give whatever, 10% or whatever I give to God in the belief that I will get even more. That would make it sort of a business transaction. The idea of giving is that you are then minus, that what you gave, and it has gone out from you and will not come back to you. That's the idea of giving. And so he asks in return for God to bless not him personally, but Israel, God's people as a whole. This day, Moses continues, Yahweh your God commands you to do these statutes and ordinances. You shall therefore keep and do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have undertaken to Yahweh this day to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes and listen to his voice. And Yahweh has undertaken you this day that you shall be a people for his own possession, his very own, as he has promised you, in order that you should keep all his commandments, so as to make you high above all nations that he has made in praise, in name, and in honour, and that you should be a holy people to Yahweh as he has spoken. So later on in the prophets we're to read that when God came together with Israel at Mount Sinai, it was as if they married. And this law of Moses that was given to them is really like a marriage covenant. You have undertaken to Yahweh, Yahweh has undertaken to you. So they were brought together by this covenant that they made. And this is why it was so serious and so awful that God's people went off and had relationships with other gods all the time, despising the covenant and breaking it. Now we also are in covenant relationship with God, not by this covenant which was broken, but by the basis of the new covenant. So we have committed to God, and he has committed to us. And because God is the one who will never disappoint, he's the one who will never break his covenant or break his promise, therefore we should always never feel alone. We should know that I am connected. I am in covenant. I've got him, and I am that special to him.